So if you have your Bibles, let us turn to the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. We are reading from verse 1 to verse 13. James 2, 1 to 13. I'll try to preach all 13 verses. We'll see how far we go. James 2, 1 to 13. And this is what it says. My beloved, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We saw that the book of James has a series of tests by which we can test if our faith is a genuine faith or if it is just a counterfeit faith, if it's a fake, if it's not existing. Gave us a first test by which we can test our faith, which is how we respond to trials. How we respond to trials. The second test James gave us is how we respond to temptation. And the third test James gave us is how we respond to the word of God. How we respond to the word of God. When the word of God is being preached, how do we respond to it? And last time, James defined a religion according to God the Father, according to God's standard. What is the religion which is accepted by God the Father? He went through that last time. And today he continues in chapter 2. Is telling us, is giving us a fourth test with a question: are you partial? Do you show favoritism? Are you partial or do you show favoritism? Before we begin, let us define partiality. What is partiality? Partiality is preferential attitude and treatment of a person or a group over another having equal claims and rights. An unfair preference for a, for one person or group over another. Unjustified partiality, treating one person better than another person because of some reason or other, you prefer them. People with equal needs are to be treated with equality. That's what it says in the book of James. People of equal needs need to be treated with equality. It says that if you are using people, if you treat people with favoritism, you are committing sin. Favoritism, unfair partiality, it is a sin. This is what it says here. And favoritism is actually contrary to the nature of God. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 7. Deuteronomy 10, 17. That's a 7. Deuteronomy 10, 17. It says of God, it says that, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality or takes a bride." Many times we talk about character of God or the attribute of God. Many of us say that God is love, God is good, God is immortal, God is unchanging. We say all those things about God, but we forget always this attribute of God, that God is impartial. God is absolutely impartial. God treats everyone equally, like based on the need and also their spiritual relationship to Him. That's what matters to God. God is not interested in your standard in society. God is not interested in how rich or how poor you are. God is not interested in how beautiful or how ugly you are. God is not interested in how old or how young you are. God is not interested by the degrees you have or the status, or if you are rich, if you are poor. God is not interested in that. The Lord God is interested only in your needs according to your relationship to Him. So consequently, James wants every believer to be in the same way towards every person they meet. We are not to treat people differently because they are rich, because they are poor. We are to see the need of these people. First of all, we are to see that what is their needs and what is their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do they have a good relationship or their relationship is not good? So we are to treat people in that level as God does. If we favor others and mistreat others, we are committing sin. Unfortunately, this is not only in the world, this is also in the church of God. There is impartiality in the church of God. People are treated differently because of status. Here, we see it says about the economic status, favoritism because of economic status. And in verse 1 here, James give us a basic truth. He makes a rule. He tells us this is how it is. He goes on to say that, "Do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism." He says, true believers respond to each other without favoritism. We are not to claim in one hand that we are Christians. I am a Christian. I am like God. I've been changed and transformed. And on the other hand, treating people differently because of their social status. This happens. We see in churches, people who have means, they find some favor to the leaders of the church, even members of the church, they treat them differently. A brother, a sister, or a family who don't have some means, they are treated differently in the church of God. James said that it should not be that way. Why? Because God the Father is impartial. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is impartial. The Holy Spirit is impartial. So we who claim to be children of God, we are to be impartial as well. He gives us an example in verse 2 to 4. He gives us this example. He says, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and a fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you said to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool.' Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" He gives an example in a church of God, in assembly of God's people. Two people come in. One is having golden the way he's dressed shows that they are rich. Actually, in Jewish culture, it was like people who had more money, they had rings, golden rings. There were even businesses made where people could go and rent rings to put them on. And they have nice clothes. As you know today, you can see people who have means by the way they dress. And people who don't have, you can see as it is. He gives this, he tells us here that the two people come in into the church or synagogue that time. They come in and you see the one who's well-dressed. You put the person at front seat, a nice seat in the congregation. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You can put somebody wherever you want to put them. That's not a sin. But then, there's a poor man coming. You look at this person, you see that he looks filthy, maybe he was stinking, or you could see how he was. You say to him, "You stand there." There's nothing wrong with that. Stand there. He could stand there. Or you tell him to sit at your footstool. Okay, sit there. But the sin comes in because you have divided. It would have been right if you have you could have told even the rich guy to sit also at your footstool. Or to stand there as well. Or it could have been right also to tell this filthy guy, the guy with filthy clothes, to sit also at this nice place. But the problem comes, the sin comes in because you discriminate. You put the guy with nice clothes to sit at a nice place, and then the guy with filthy clothes to sit at a low place. That's where the sin is. You looked at the outside, you made a judgment. That's what James is telling his followers here. That the sin came by that. You look with the eye, you didn't see the needs of these people. You didn't meet their needs. You just saw from the outside. You thought, "This one, go sit at the right place. You, the poor fella, just sit there by my footstool. or stand there or even go out. It happens times after time in the Church of God as well. He said that we have become judges with evil motives. The outside appearance has mattered to us more than the inside needs of these people. I remember, like, I was maybe 18 or 19 years old. I was not a believer. A childhood friend started a church where I lived. We heard of it, and we went to his church. It was a new church. As I told you, people, that in Africa, like, if somebody starts something, if somebody does well, it becomes like the problem of all those people who know the person. It's like, if I would start a church, everyone who knows me will come to that church just to support me, because it's something new. It's not like here, once you do something good, everyone stays and start gossiping. In Africa, people will come to be there supporting, even though they have no interest, even though they don't agree with what we are doing, they just be there to take part. We went to this church. It was a new church. We were sitting there, and they needed some seats, some chairs in the church, and they say that if you want to give for us to have seats, you can give. I was not a believer, and then I heard that, I told them that I will pay for some chairs. I don't know if it was 30 chairs. It was not expensive chairs. I told them that I was going to buy those chairs for them, and it was good. The following Sunday, they had bought the chairs, but they then put a place for VIP people. And Don was also having a seat there in the VIP people. I was not even a believer. I was not interested, because I gave, so they had put me to be a VIP people. That shows that sometimes we don't see the need of people. What I needed was salvation, but I was elevated. If I would have continued in that church, I would have been an elder or a pastor or evangelist or whatever, I could have been in that church, because I gave that gift. So I was treated well because of financial reasons. And that happens in Church of God time after time. There is discrimination in the Church of God based on different things, the outside appearance. And James is saying that it is a sin if we behave that way. As Christians, we are to be as our God is. He is impartial. God sees the needs and sees the relationship that person has with him. That's what matters to him. As Christians, we must be in the same way. If a person comes to us, if we meet with persons, we must see what need this person has and what is their status before God. Are they saved? Or are they not saved? If two people come in, they are both saved, we are to treat them in the same way. Of course, there is a time for some respect to people God has put in authority. If a commune director will come from Pedro, will come and sit here, we will treat him with some respect, put him in that place and talk to him politely. But that doesn't mean that we give him favors which others don't have. So that is the sin James is talking about here. He gives an example in verse 2 and 4. And then he goes on in verse 5 to 7. He gives the inconsistency of that kind of behavior. If you show favoritism, how inconsistent you are with the word of God. How inconsistent you are with Christian faith. You are holding the name of God. At the same time, you are showing favoritism. You are inconsistent with your faith. It says here that listen, my, he says here, listen, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? He's reminding his readers. He tells them, actually, the story, the reality of the church of Jesus Christ. The early church was basically formed of common people, poor people. People who didn't have much. The low-class people. That's the history of Christianity. Poor people. It became, it started with a man who was born in where? Nazareth. Where they say that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Jesus Christ was born there. And then we had the fishermen, we have the tax collectors, we have all these people with the sicknesses which Jesus had healed, who became his followers. And they were common people. He's telling them that has God not chosen for salvation the poor of this world? People who didn't have, people who had been seen as lowest in society. The early church was made of these low people. But among those people, God has also saved the richer people, people who had means, like Lydia, Italian man, Cornelius, like other people, and even Joseph the one who gave clothes for Jesus to be buried. Among those common people, among those poor people, God saved also some who had means. But the means, they used them to save the church of God. He's reminding them of this. That for salvation, which is the main purpose of the church of God, God has chosen the poor of this world. That's something to remember, the church, our history. God has not chosen the wise, the noble, the shiny. God has not chosen the famed for salvation. God has chosen the poor, the common people. So if God has done that, why do we show favoritism? In verse 6, he goes on to say that, but you have dishonored the poor. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts. He says that God has saved the poor, the common people, the no-names, the Miss Nobodies or Miss Nobodies in the kingdom. And then you are looking down on those people based on their social status. You are showing you are judging just by seeing how the people look. You are not even looking at the heart. You are not looking if they are saved or not saved. And then he goes on to tell them, why do you give this status, this high esteem to the rich people? He asks them here in verse 6. It tells them that, are not the rich people those who take you to courts? Those who manipulate you? Aren't you made slaves by these rich people? Are they not getting rich because of you? Are they not misusing you? Are they not using the power to get rich? As you know the story, in this world, even today, the rich use the poor. He's reminding them, why do you give them this high place in the church? Why are you being destructive? Why are you doing things as the people of this world? God has chosen the poor of this world. God has chosen you and me, the common people of this world. And instead of knowing your history, your story, what you are doing is you are looking at this rich, you're giving them the favor which they don't deserve. You are committing sin. You are committing sin. He goes on to verse 7 to tell them, do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? He's telling them, even, he goes even deep to tell them the truth, that the rich people, they worship their wealth. They worship what they have, and they don't care about God. And as I said earlier, they are rich people who have been good stewards of what God has given them. They've used it for the kingdom of God. We thank God for them. But in many cases, we know that the few of rich people use their money for kingdom of God. He's telling his people, he's telling us here that they blaspheme the name of God. They worship what they have. They don't think God has anything to do with them. Why are you looking on outside appearance? Why are you focused on what is from the outside? Why don't you look at things in the same way God sees at them? God sees the needs and the relationship people have with him. But you are looking just for the dress and the account and the house people have, the cars people drive, which school they went to, what job they have, what status they have. You are looking for things of this world which don't matter to God. He goes on to tell them in verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. He tells them that, by this we can see that in that church, in that assembly, there were people who were fulfilling the law of God. James calls it royal law, the supreme law, the sovereign law, because it's made by God. King of Kings has made the law, and there is no appeal for any higher court. It is a binding law. He's saying that you are fulfilling it. You are really fulfilling it. Some of you are doing it, and you are doing well. He's commanding them. Do well. That's good. You are loving your neighbor as you love yourselves. That's really good. You are doing it. As Christians, we are to be people who care about one another. We are to consider others like higher than ourselves, as Philippians 2 says. We are not to be people who are preoccupied with ourselves. We are to love the next. Who is the next? See the example of good Samaritan. The guy who saw unknown people on the road and took care of his needs. We are to be people who are caring for others, not just for ourselves. And he commands these people is that if you are fulfilling this law, this sovereign law, you are doing well. And he quotes these scriptures. He tells them that you are doing well. You are loving your neighbor as you love yourselves. something that how do I, like James, you're telling me that how do I love myself as more than my neighbor? How can you explain to me how I love myself? Because that is the question we might be thinking time after time. We are living in a time where people think, I don't love myself because of this, there's pressure, there's this kind of things, and it goes over and over. Let me ask you, which mouth do you feed every time you eat? You feed your own mouth. Which body do you put clothes on? It's your own body. Why are you working for that career, working hard? It's because you love yourself, you want to go higher. Why do you have a nice house? Because you love yourself. Why do you everything you do? Because you love yourself. That is the proof that you love yourself. And then James said that, love your neighbor. So the same way you do for yourself, do it also for the neighbor, for the next person who comes in your path. If you have the heart like the heart of God, God has saved us. God is impartial. God is love. That love is shown by Him redeeming you. We didn't deserve to be a child of God. In the same manner, also show kindness, show love to others. And if you do that, you are doing well. We are to exhibit this character of God in our lives as Christians. We are not to be people who put everyone in any box, every box. You see a person, you put them in a box, and they are stuck there. Even if they prove you wrong, you don't want to take them out of that box. Because you have put them in that box, that's where they are. We are to be impartial. We are to treat the neighbor as we treat ourselves. That shows the character of God. That shows that we are children of God. We are transformed. We have seen mercy. We have been saved by God. So we live in a way which shows that our hearts have been changed and transformed. And then he goes on, verse 9. He tells them, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressor. He's telling them that if you are treating people of equal needs with equality, you are doing well. But if you are treating people with favoritism, you are committing sin. You are committing sin. This goes both ways. I've seen in churches of God or in some places, some people who claim to be Christians, they have a mission to be treated differently. They come into the church, they want to be treated differently. They want to tell you about all the letters they have after their names. They want to tell you about all the experience, what family they come from. They want to tell you about how many people they know. They intimidate everyone so that they can be treated differently. James says here that in verse 9 that, but if you show partiality, you commit sin. And you are a transgressor of the law. A transgressor of the law. You are guilty of the law of God. We have to be careful as God's people how we treat people. We have to be careful how we treat people, especially when it comes to the church of God. I see it sometimes at my work. That is business. But it should not be there, but it's there. You find sometimes that if I want to send an email to somebody unknown, I have to put my signature down there, who I am. And then the guy who reads my email will look, who am I chatting with? If they think I am of value, then they will reply, Dear Don, and they will write all these nice words. If it's a sales guy, he knows that this is a technician, yeah, this is this, he doesn't answer. But if I'm talking to a technician, if I'm sending an email and explain the problem, he sees, this guy knows what he's doing, I get an answer. If our sales guy writes to this same guy, he won't get an answer. They will just ignore him. But if our sales guy will write to a sales guy, and with his signature down there, sales manager, directly get an answer. We see the world works that way in outside of the church. People use lenses to see. And those mentalities are taken even in the church of God. We try to look at everyone with lenses. Not lenses according to their needs, not lenses according to their spiritual status, spiritual needs, no, because of social status and appearance. That's why you see unbelievers trick the church of God. Unbelievers fool the leaders of the church. They come in as wolves, clothed in lamb skin, and they are treated as lambs. We are to be careful. As he says here, that if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressor, as a lawbreaker. If you and I, as I know that we have done, we are all guilty of this. We have, in some ways, treated people differently because we want something, or because we think they are of influence, or because of how they dress and we want to attach ourselves to them. We are all guilty of this. We have broken the law of God. We are sinners. What do? You don't want to stand before God time after time as a law, somebody who is guilty, who is there to smash the law of God time after time. We are to make our lives better. We are to treat our neighbors as ourselves. We are to take off those old imagination, old worldly behaviors in the church of God. We are to treat everyone equally according to their needs. Otherwise, we are guilty transgressors of the law of God. In verse 10, he goes on to say, For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Let me ask you a question. How many laws do you have to break to be a sinner or to be guilty? It's one law. You break one law, you have broken them all. It shows that the law of God hangs together. The law of God is one. It's not like you can have a scale, knowing that you can weigh that the bad and the good, and to see if they balance or not. It's a matter that you have sinned once, you are a sinner. You have lied once, you are a liar. You have disobeyed the law of God once, you are a transgressor. That's what James is telling them here. If you have shown favoritism or partiality once to a person, you have committed sin. You are guilty of this. You are showing a character which is opposite to the character of God. And that's not how it should be. We are called Christian. We are called God's children. We are to reflect the character of God in us. Not the opposite. Not the opposite. Your faith is sin, but what you do, by what you do, what you do shows that your heart has been transformed. If your pattern of life is to attach yourself with people you know that you're going to get some benefit from, people you know that you will not benefit anything to, you just talk bad things about them, you don't even want to say, even to listen to them, that's not a good character. That does not show the character of God. We are to be equal to everyone. Listen. Attend to the need of everyone. Care for everyone, especially in the church of God. That doesn't mean that you will go along with everyone you will meet. There are some people you meet, they are always going to be pain. And we are still to treat them with equality. It could be a boss, it could be a colleague, it could be a church member, it could be a family member, it could be anyone. We are to be treating people without any partiality. We are to be impartial as God is. Otherwise, we are guilty, we are there to break the law of God time after time after time. A sinner is sinner. We will stand before God. God will see sinners and those who are forgiven. It won't be that you are a sinner because of partiality. Yeah, that small thing. No, you are treating the person God has saved with, or you think that they have less value. The person who is of great importance to God. Jesus Christ died for that person on the cross. He comes in the church and he's treated or she's treated badly. That's not how we should be doing as children of God. And then he goes on to verse 11. He makes he explains what he is saying here in verse 11. He says, "For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law." He's telling these people that you can't pick and choose which sins are big and which are small. You can't just live in way of committing partiality, thinking that you are standing well. He says that these two sins are said here, adultery and murder, were all declared sin by God. God declared them sin, adultery and murder. Both of them. And it doesn't matter if you commit one or not commit the other. If you commit one, you have broken the law. You are also a transgressor. It makes them to understand the importance, the seriousness of this sin of partiality in the church of God. That you are to show the character of God. God has said, "Do not commit adultery." Same God has said, "Do not murder." The same God has said, "Do not be partial." And the same God has said, "Do not lie, do not steal." It's the same God who is giving laws about him, to be worshipped, the first part of Ten Commandments. It's the same God who has given the second part of the law. So you can't twist and turn. You can't choose sins which are big and which are small, sins which are sins and those which are not sins. It's putting them in difficult situation here. To say that it's to God we will give an answer. It's God who is the lawgiver. It's God who has told us that we are to treat everyone, we are to love the neighbor as ourselves. If we are not loving the neighbor as ourselves, we are committing sin. We are breaking laws. We are transgressors. And that is not something to live with. To habitually committing the sin, which you know that it is a sin. God is against it time after time, time after time, time after time. Treating people differently because of economical status. Because of the influence they have. Because of the profit we're going to get from them. Because we like them, we don't like them. The Church of God should not be that way. Should not be that way at all. In verse 12, he makes an appeal. He says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." He makes a call to take account of the danger of divine judgment. It shows that in congregation James was, some people were following the law of God, but some, the phony Christians, the fake Christians, were continually showing favoritism to people. They would choose who to treat well and who to treat bad. They will choose who to be friends with and those not to be friends with. They were just dividing the Church of God according to social classes. And James is telling them here that so speak you and so do. You better speak and you better act as people who are headed for a future judgment. And judgment will be based on the law of God. He's telling to these phony Christians whose habit is to always show partiality, to choose, to discriminate. He's telling them that act and speak as those who do those things. Show your hearts that you are heading for judgment. And remember, judgment will be made to you because by the law of God. Because that's the law of God you are busy not respecting time after time. Expose yourself. Show yourself to be a false. Show yourself that you are in Church of God showing partiality or favoritism to people according to what you think is important for you, the outside appearance. Show that. And by you showing that, it shows that you are just interested in things of this world, and you are going to be judged by the law of God, by the standard of law of God. That same law you are busy not caring about, it's by that law you will be judged. That's what he's telling them here. Don't pretend. Don't pretend in Church of God. Again, it's a sad story. If you hear what people have gone through the Church of God. Partiality. Saved people. People who are so loved by God. People who love God. Because they might be special. They might be poor. They might not look as your kind of people. They might be speaking differently. They might be having different accent, and they might be coming from part of the world you don't like. And you just indifferent to them. You don't just care because you have put them in that box. That's it. Forgetting that Christ died for their sins. Forgetting that they are so, so loved by Jesus Christ. Forgetting that if you are saved, those are the people you will spend time with in eternity. In some sense, it shows that if your life is to show partiality to people, it shows that your heart has not been changed. You have not ever tested the mercy of God, knowing that I was the poor, I was the filth, I was the rejected of God. God has saved me. He has made me to be the child of God. And I have to show that to the next person, God has also saved. God has also done that they will come to the church, assembly of God. I have to treat them as God's own people. Live as you do. Speak as you do. He's telling these people, come out and express yourselves. Don't hide. Come out. Express yourselves. And verse 13, it says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He's telling them that judgment is without mercy. There is no mercy in judgment. There is no mercy in the law of God. There's no mercy. You break the law, you are a law. You are guilty. You see a person who shows mercy, who shows who's not discriminating people, who treats people equally, who cares for people, who meets people's need. I will show a Christian. I will show you a Christian. This is a Christian. Somebody who cares for others. Somebody who doesn't think that is much better than others. But show me a person whose job is to discriminate, his job is to have opinion of any other person. Is the person who's just there to show favoritism and partiality. Before he sees a person, he knows already. I will show a person whose life has not been changed. I show you a person whose life is not a person. The person who will stand before God, and mercy will not be shown to him because he has never experienced that mercy before. To the one who is saved, the one who has seen mercy, the one who has seen mercy in life, even on judgment day, that mercy will be shown to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one who can bring mercy in judgment. Christ can bring grace. Christ can bring mercy into judgment. Because when God sees you guilty, God sees the mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ. God sees pardon. God sees forgiveness in his Son, Jesus Christ. But if you have lived a life discriminating, favoring people you have benefit or people you like, not showing mercy to others. The truth is that when you stand that day before God in judgment, mercy will not be shown to you. Mercy will not be shown to you. And that is a sad story, a sad ending. Standing before God and mercy is not shown to you. Because you have not shown mercy. Because you have lived your life just showing partiality, choosing and picking, having opinion of everyone, making God's people suffer because of your own ideas. That is a sad ending. And I can say that many of us will be guilty of it. There are times in our lives, maybe when we don't want to do it, but as we live in our culture, in society, we end up doing it. But we have to be careful. That we people, we are willing to put others first. To put others first. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. You know, the judgment will be based on what you've done in the world. The judgment of God will be based on what you are doing now. What your life has been all about. Discriminating. Treating God's people as garbage, as nothing. Seeing only your own benefits, your own interests. Your test is more important than God. You don't care. If you are living your life in that way, there is a warning here. There will be no mercy for you in the day of judgment. But the second part is this. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Those who have spent their lives showing mercy, treating everyone equally, caring for God's people's needs, showing the mercy, they will stand in judgment, they will escape judgment because mercy will be given to them. Mercy will triumph judgment. Mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ will be portrayed, to be seen there. This is the person who lived their lives showing the character of God, showing that they are transformed and changed. That mercy will be given to them in the day of judgment. And now, what do we do with what we have heard? How have you been living your life? Are you a partial person? Are you living your life to show just favoritism to people? Are you a person who's preoccupied to pick and choose who you want to do a favor, who you want to meet their needs? James wants his readers to examine themselves. Make an inventory in your life. How has life been this far? Favoritism or equality, meeting people's needs, showing mercy, putting others first. That is something worth thinking of. Because your faith is seen by your works, what you do. And imagine you treating God's people as garbage, as second-class people. That is insulting God, who is impartial. That's insulting the Lord Jesus Christ, who is impartial. That's insulting the Holy Spirit of God, who is impartial. That is insulting or that showing even inconsistency about that faith you claim to. If you sit here not knowing God, judgment awaits you, and mercy will not be shown to you. That is a big thing. It doesn't matter before God what sin you have committed. You are sinner because you have broken one law of God, and mercy will not be shown to you. But there is one. Through his work, mercy can be shown. Mercy can triumph judgment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. If you don't know him today, if I have been identifying you today, don't hide. Don't just keep that to yourself. Know that there is a God who sees everything. And God is impartial. God will give you the judgment according to your works. Today, if you have been exposed, turn to God and ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Show that you are a person who has seen the mercy of God, whose heart has been changed and transformed. Not a person who is going there to be a transgressor of the law time after time. Because each and one of us will stand in God before God in judgment. That is something we can't take away from scriptures, take away from the reality of our lives. Treat people with equal needs, with equality. Shall we pray? We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you are opening our eyes, and we are looking and we are seeing. Father, you allow us to do an inventory in our lives. We know that we have fallen short time after time. Maybe not wanting to do, we have shown favor to people. We should not have been showing favor. Father, we've been fooled, or we just prefer people because they are our type. We have shown them favor. We've been partial to them. We see today that partiality is sin. You, God, is impartial. You, God, don't show favoritism, and you command us to be that way. We ask for forgiveness, God. Forgive us. Help us, Lord, to be people who show mercy. Help us, God, to be people who meet people's needs according to their relationship with you. Father, help us not to be focused on things of this world, but to look in the heart, to see the value, what matters for you, and treat people according to that. Help us, God, to put others first and we to be after. Help us to care for the neighbor, Lord, to treat them as we treat ourselves, to love them as we love us. Help us to exhibit your character, to be impartial. All this we do pray, your Son's mighty name. Amen.